In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father Peter. It's very nice to be here with all of you. If you die, before you die, you shall not die when you die. An pethanis prin pethanis, then tha pethanis otan pethanis. A pilgrim to any one of the 20 monasteries on the Holy Mountain is normally greeted with this saying on the walls of the guest house. It's a reminder from the monks that to those of us in the world that this is exactly what they've done. They've died to the world. The monastery, their cell within a monastery, for them is already their grave. But they're still alive, alive in Christ. And they use the remainder of their short time in this world to prepare for the next, to repent of their sins, to join themselves mystically with Christ. But this activity, my brothers and sisters, of preparing for death is not just something for monastics. It's something for each and every one of us and all Christians. We are called to be in the world, but no longer of the world. We are called to die mystically in Christ, so that we can live in Him and be His presence, His body in the world, calling others to know the love of God. This is something of what St. Paul speaks about in the epistle that we heard this morning when he says, "But far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." We're hearing this epistle and the gospel that we heard today because it's the Sunday before the feast of the elevation of the precious and life-giving cross. We have readings on Saturday before the cross, the Sunday before the cross, the day of the feast itself, and the next Saturday and Sunday as well. The church is trying to tell us something with this focus on the cross. If you die, before you die, you shall not die when you die. What the church is trying to tell us is that we need to die to selfishness. We need to die to thinking about this world as just a place where we're trying to get ahead. We're trying to gather whatever we can for ourselves or perhaps for our families, and to cling to it, to hold on to it, as if this is what matters. When the gospel very clearly tells us that is what leads away from God and away from eternal life. So it's very helpful for us to remember our mortality. It's very helpful for us to remember that we are all, to one degree or another, terminal here and now. We all have a terminal illness. It's the primordial sin within us. Sin, my brothers and sisters, is evil. Sin is what brings death. Sin as in separation from God, because He is life. But the cross, and whatever cross that may be, whether it's following Christ, voluntarily offering ourselves to God and to others, or even involuntary crosses, like suffering the effects of hurricanes, or like terminal illnesses, if we bear them faithfully, that suffering is not evil. That suffering is redemptive. It's the remedy for sin. It's life-bestowing. On the way here in the airplane, I happened to find in my book bag the spring issue of the Praxis magazine. If you don't know about it, especially parents and teachers, I strongly suggest that you subscribe to it from the Religious Education Department. There was an article in here by someone who I listen to quite a bit on Ancient Faith Radio. His name is Kevin Allen. And if you know anything about Kevin Allen, he is a real leading spokesman for Orthodoxy in the world. But he found out a little more than a year ago that he has a terminal illness. This article is entitled Discovering Life by Facing Death. And in it, he speaks about how much his viewpoint about why we're here has changed since he's found out that he has a terminal illness. The things that he thought were important and that he prioritized are no longer important to him and no longer priorities. He says this, "I was not raised with any spiritual formation until I was a teenager, and even then I was not a Christian. I spent most of my time enslaved to my passions, which are distortions of the gifts we are given as created beings. When I was a teenager in the 1960s, the so-called fleshly passions were emphasized as what it is to be human. I wish I had been raised as an Orthodox Christian. As an adult, I pursued the values we are taught to achieve in our American culture: ambition, comfort, self-fulfillment, material success, career success, the pursuit of wealth. I spent a lot of time on the road traveling and building businesses, and I wish I had spent more valuable time with my wife and family and seriously pursuing God and spiritual transformation. As I look back now, I see less value in most of the material things I pursued because none of them prepare me for the next life. If I could do things over again with what I know now, I would try to develop more love in my heart and focus more on the life to come than on this temporary life. I would be kinder, less self-centered, less critical and judgmental." What Kevin is trying to say to us is that we need to die. We need to learn how to die, that the purpose of this life is really to eternal life. To die in a therapeutic way that is healing to our brokenness. And the sooner we start dying in this way, in the Christian way, the sooner we start experiencing that hidden new life in Christ that gives us a foretaste of eternity. And gives us courage to follow Christ on that narrow road to Golgotha. But those little deaths are sometimes very easy to miss. I remember Dr. Philip Mamalaka, the husband, was saying how ready he was to take a bullet for his wife, and Philip just laughed and he said, "That's so funny. You're ready to take a bullet, but you're not so willing to take out the trash." It's in the little things each and every day that we decide each and every day not to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ by living and serving and giving ourselves to others. It's the Christian life, the spiritual life. I'd like to end with a rather long story. It's about Father Daniel Biantoro. I don't know how many of you know or have heard of Father Daniel. He's the founder of Orthodox Christianity in Indonesia. Father Daniel's father had another wife as well, so he didn't know him. So he lived with his grandfather and his mother. His grandfather was an imam in a mosque in Indonesia, in their village. His mother was a Quranic teacher, and Father Daniel, as a child, was very devout Muslim. He prayed 5 times a day as a child. And he longed to know God. He longed to experience God more fully and the purpose of his life here. But the faith that he was in wasn't giving him all those answers. It wasn't giving him a true sense of God. And he would ask his grandfather, "Grandfather, what is God like? Is God like the sky that wherever you look, there he is? Or is he more like the wind that you don't see him, but you just feel him?" But whatever his grandfather said to him didn't really meet that need in his heart. One day he was invited over to one of his teacher's homes for dinner. His grandfather had told him, never go and eat in the home of a Christian, especially never eat, don't go into a home, and especially don't eat their food, because their priests have this magical water that if they sprinkle it on the water, you're going to believe like them. So they're having dinner, and he really likes this teacher and her husband, and they're having a philosophical conversation, and he's telling them how much he longs to know God, how much he longs to experience God more fully in his life. And the husband of his teacher points at an ant crawling on the wall, and he says, "Daniel, if you wanted to communicate to that ant that you ant, what would you do?" And he thought about it for a while, and he said, "Well, either I'd have to learn how to speak ant, or I'd have to become an ant so that he could understand me and I could understand him." And the teacher said, "Very good, Daniel. That's true. Daniel, God has become a man so that we can know him." And when Daniel heard that, he began to think to himself, "Wait a second, where am I?" He said, "Really, God has become a man?" "Yes, Daniel, his name is Jesus Christ. And God became man in Jesus Christ so that we could know him." Daniel ran out of the house. He ran all the way back home. He ran to his grandfather and he said, "Grandfather, grandfather, the most horrible thing happened." "What, Daniel?" "I ate everything on the plate." "What do you mean?" "I was in the home of a Christian and I ate everything." His grandfather told him he had to do penance for that. But he was very confused within himself. He decided he needed to defend Islam. And the next time he saw that teacher, he would argue with him. He said, "If you say God is three, but there's only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's only one God, how can three be one?" And the teacher said, "Well, look at me. I'm a father, but I'm also a husband, but I'm also a son." And he said, "But you're not just three. You're 100. You're also a student. You're also an uncle." You know, and he tried to defend in that way. He said, If God really became man, so he left heaven and he come here, who was in heaven?" And in these ways, he felt in some sense he had defended his own faith, but he still wasn't satisfied. One night as he was praying in his room, he was 15 years old, and he had finished doing the reading out of the Quran, and he just sat there meditating. And he had this longing within himself again to well up. "I just want to know God." When a light began to shine in his room, it wasn't coming from the outside. It was a light that itself was being. And that light took a form and became a person with a face. and the light called him by name, Daniel. The first night, he just ran out of the room. He ran into his grandfather's bed. "What is it? What is it, my child?" "Nightmare, grandfather. I have nightmare." The second night, it happened again. And the person spoke to him. And Daniel said it was the strangest thing because he spoke, but he didn't move his lips. And I heard him, but I didn't hear him with my ears. And he said to me, "Daniel." And I said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus Christ." And he ran out of the room again, into his grandfather's bed. The third night, same thing happens again. "Who are you?" "I am Jesus Christ." "What about Muhammad?" "Don't concern yourself with him. Follow me." Now Daniel was in a real predicament. Jesus Christ, who he believed was just a prophet, had appeared himself and said, "You follow me, become a follower of me." So for 2 weeks, he just prayed and fasted. And finally, he just waited. And nothing happened. No light, no voice, no vision. So he opened up the Quran. Now, those of you who know the Quran know that many passages in the Quran are taken from Holy Scripture. So he came upon the Annunciation, and he was reading the Annunciation, but how it's recorded in the Quran, where it says, the archangel Gabriel speaks to the Virgin Mary and says, "Hail, O highly favored one, for you shall give birth to the Word of God." And Daniel began to think to himself, Word. Jesus is the Word of God. Well, what does Word mean? What's my Word? As he thought about it, he said, "Well, my Word is just who I am. It's just what comes out of my mouth that communicates what's in my mind and my heart. It just communicates me." And then he thought, "Is my Word separate from who I am?" No. So if Jesus is the Word of God, then he's not separate from God. He's just God's Word. And then he had the thought, well, maybe that's why I feel I don't know God, because I don't know His Word. And then he said, wait a second. Christians also believe that God is spirit. Well, what's spirit? And he asked himself, do I have a spirit? Yes. What is spirit? The spirit is the being of every living thing. Every living thing has spirit. And he asked himself, is God a living being? And he said, yes, God is a living being. Therefore, God must have spirit as well. Is that separate from who God is? No. It's just God's spirit. So if that is so, he said to himself, then Christians don't believe in three gods, as he had been taught. They believe in one God who has word and spirit. If that is so, I will be a Christian. And that went to the Holy Mountain, was baptized, came to America, studied at Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology, and then went back and founded the church in Indonesia. My brothers and sisters, it is that God, that Father who so loved the world that He gave His Son to become one of us little ants, become like us, even though He's God, to so humble Himself. It is that Son of God and God who, to show us how much He loves us, took everything upon Himself, including sin and death, so that we could live in Him. We could have eternal life once again. So that we would stop building our little ant holes here and realize who we truly are and what we're called to do in this life, each and every one of us. It is that God, the Holy Spirit, who is waiting for each of us to say, here I am. I'm going to surrender my life now, completely, fully. I'm going to die to the old Father Theodore so that you can live in me. So that He can fill us. So that He can make us like God the Son. In Christ, through Christ, with Christ, we can live eternally. But for that to happen, we must first be willing to let go. If you die before you die in Christ, my brothers and sisters, you shall not die when you die. Lord, grant us to truly surrender our lives to you, to live for you, to live for your church, so that we and our families and all those around us may know your life. Amen.